We have spent the past month reading from Job, a book about Job's loss of ignorance, a book that begins and ends with Job having great wealth, but with a dramatic fall and rise in between. Ruth is a very different kind of story, but it's one that gets to much the same point. We'll start today with Naomi. This book may bear the name Ruth, but in many ways, this is really a story about Naomi. Naomi speaks more than anyone else in the story, and each chapter opens and closes with Naomi's perspective. Naomi and Job could not be more different. Unlike Job, whose story has the dramatic fall and equally dramatic rise, Naomi has no great wealth. Naomi is always teetering on the edge. Our story opens with Naomi and her three men, her husband Elimelech and her sons Mahlon and Chilion, having run out of food in Bethlehem. So they decide to make the dangerous journey across both desert and river into Moab, a country known mostly in scripture for hostility and enmity, both toward and from Israel. Ruth, Elimelech, and their sons must be facing deep poverty, even imminent starvation, in the face of this famine, for them to abandon their home and their land and to seek shelter among enemies. We do not know how it goes at first. They must have found some measure of security because their sons were able to marry Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth, even after the death of their father. But I imagine life was still hard, because within 10 years of their settling in Moab, all three men have died, first Elimelech, then Mahlon and Chilion. And once again, Naomi finds herself dangerously close to the edge. Unlike Job, who responds to his losses with anger, with protestations of his innocence, and with theological arguments, Naomi is quiet. She sets about the business of figuring out how to survive. Unlike Job, Naomi does not have friends there to tell her how this is her fault, but I imagine she, like others in the early audience, could have easily found that fault in her abandoning the promised land and allowing her sons to take foreign wives, which in the Hebrew scriptures is rarely a popular move. Like Job, Naomi feels abandoned by God. But Naomi's grief is so consuming that instead of raging, she urges others to abandon her as she feels God already has. And so she tries to send Orpah and Ruth away, saying, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back. Go your way. I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No. My daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Orpah is persuaded by Naomi's argument that Orpah and Ruth are still young and may find other husbands, may find security on their own more easily than the three widows together. They are now, after all, looking for someone to take them in, and three mouths are a greater burden than one. And Naomi, as her grief deepens into depression, is certain that she is nothing but a burden. too old to marry, too old to bear children, too old to contribute to her own welfare. How often do we act as Naomi does here? How often have you responded to your own sorrow, grief, loss, or depression by trying to push everyone and everything away? I know we have many teachers here who have seen this in their students, in the students who, once they earn the label problem, lean into it and act out more. I know we've seen it not just with students, but with friends, children, coworkers, siblings, and parents. When something starts to go wrong in one area of our lives, it comes out in others. I know I have reacted like Naomi. I know that in my moments of depression, I have responded by trying to confirm all of the worst things that I have thought about myself, by trying to prove that those worst things are all that anyone else can see. I know that I have been in places where I have wanted that confirmation because it would mean I could stop trying. As much as I might like the book of Job with all of its righteous anger and theological arguments and debate, I have never related to Job as a character. But Naomi is a different story and a different model. Later in the story, even as Ruth sticks with her, Naomi's depression remains, and remains so great that she sets out to change her name. Naomi means pleasant. But Naomi can no longer see herself that way, so she tries to change her name to Mara, which means bitter. I am thankful for the lectionary's pairing of the Job and Ruth stories, because looking at them together has shown me something I would not have otherwise seen. God sends Job's brothers and sisters and other friends to bring Job the help he needs, to bring Job a hot meal, comfort, sympathetic ears, and the money to start to rebuild. But with Naomi, God has already put Ruth in place. The names in the Hebrew Bible often do have meanings. Just as Naomi means pleasant and Mara bitter, Ruth in Hebrew means companion. Ruth clings to Naomi like God's own grace clings to us all. Present even as we try to ignore it, to deny it, to hide from it, present as we try to push it away. Ruth stays with Naomi and follows her back to Bethlehem. Ruth stays with Naomi and helps Naomi find each next step forward. Ruth stays with Naomi as God stays with us. Even as we try to hide, to run away, to push away. Even in the darkest moments, when we cannot see, God's grace, like Ruth, follows us, saying, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Thanks be to God.